I really don't know what we got the most of here, talent or children. Of course, after next Friday night, children will thin out some. Good to be in the house of the Lord today. Hey, just a wonderful day to come out and worship and praise an almighty God. And you know, a God that loves us and a God that cares for us. I think about that a lot. You know, I just don't quite understand always how God loves me as much as He does. Because I don't always treat Him right. I don't always do exactly what I should do. But you know, it still just pours out the love, just keeps pouring out the love. And I want to talk a little bit about love this morning. You know, I had some thoughts about this during the week. You know, love makes people do different things. Y'all ever noticed that? You know, when you truly love somebody, there's a lot of times you'll make sacrifices and do something that you just don't really want to do. I mean, I make a shopping trip a year because I love my wife. You know, at least one. And just an illustration, you know. And I began thinking about this week. What it would be like when love becomes more than just a word. Now, I want you to think about that. When love becomes more than just a word. You know, if we go through this next week, if you'll just count up the times that people will say, well, I love you or this, but I got thinking about, you know, Jesus and His walk on earth. You know, Son of God came down in a virgin birth and walked on this earth some 33 years, more or less. And I got to reading through Scripture, and you know, I don't find that Jesus went around every day telling everybody, I love you, I love you, I love you. Yeah, you know, it just don't say that in Scripture. But when I look at the Word of God and understand about what God has blessed us with to have His Word recorded, I find that Jesus may not have went around telling everybody He loved them, but buddy, He showed them. I'm telling you, He illustrated not only His love, but the compassion of God, who He was, about how He loved people and how He was concerned about them. So, you know, if you're looking for Jesus to say, I love you, you don't have to look or listen. You can just look and see that He did so much love people. He didn't go around telling everybody every day, I love you, I love you, but He showed it. And I thought, what a wonderful thing, you know, in this day and time when love becomes more than just a word. Just something we speak out of routine or out of habit sometimes, you know. Guilty of that myself, that sometimes we speak it. And then I told somebody the other day, I said, well, I love you. And then I backed up and I thought, do I really love them? Do I really? Or is it just something I said? You know, I was at a funeral situation and some folks I hadn't saw in a while. And it really struck me hard. And I got thinking about, is this just a word that I use or is this something that I really mean? And I began thinking about this all week, you know, when love becomes more than just a word. I had the greatest illustrator that we can ever have through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus in the Word of God, St. John, in chapter 15, verse 13, He made this statement, greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And I thought about the love that God has shown us through His Son, Jesus Christ, that He laid down His life, it says, for His friends. And that we can be considered friends of Christ Jesus, that we're considered worthy, that He died on the cross of Calvary and shed His blood for the whole world. And us as individuals. And I thought, can I ever love Jesus as much as He loved me? I don't know if that's a possibility, but you know, I want to work on it. I want to try. I don't think it's something we're going to gain today and say, well, we're perfected. We love Christ as much as He loved us. I don't think that's going to happen, but it's a goal we can work toward in this lifetime, and it may take the perfection of the grave and the resurrection for us to accomplish that. Now, that's a possibility, but then we'll have the mind of Christ and we can love as Christ loved us. In St. Luke chapter 10, verse 25, let's read about a situation that Jesus was dealing with in an explanation about eternal life. St. Luke chapter 10, I'm going to start in verse 25. And as we go through today, I want you to think about love demonstrated. I want you to think about love and, you know, what we can do, not just a word, but seeing results in the actions of it. In St. Luke chapter 10, verse 25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? You know, when I read the first verse, I think about the situation we see still in this world today about some lawyer standing up and tempted Christ. Can you think about that, tempting Christ? It's kind of like, you know, taking a feather and tickling the nose of a tiger. I'm going to tell you, you can get in trouble with it. You know, it can cause problems, you know. And I think about this lawyer standing up tempting Christ. And we're still in a world that way that want to question and want to tempt not only Christ, but God himself and the Word of God. In verse 26, he said unto him, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" And he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself." And so we get the answer that it was already recorded in God, and we start talking about love becoming more than just a word. You know, it's one thing to say, "I love the Lord," or it's one thing to say, "I love God," or "I love this," or "I love that." But when it comes down to it, when are we willing to show that love that we proclaim to have? Is it just a word, or is it something we really do? And Jesus illustrated, he said, what does the word say? And he said, "Shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." You know, it would have been a lot easier if you hadn't put that neighbor thing in there, wouldn't it? Amen. I mean, you know, it's one thing to love a perfect God. It's one thing to love a God that loves you back just as much as you love Him. It's an easy thing sometimes to love a God that planned for your salvation, for your eternal life. But you know, down there at the end, He put that little thing in, "and thy neighbor as thyself." Now, that's when it really comes down to play, and we have to make a decision. Is love something we really do? Is love something we really mean? Or is it just a word we use? Been a lot easier if he'd left that part out, wouldn't it? I might have passed that test, and now I have to struggle with it. Because sometimes it's hard to love a neighbor that don't love you back. It's hard to love a neighbor that lives in such a way it just galls you to the core. It's hard to love your neighbor and sometimes even your family when they disrespect the God that you love so much. It's tough, isn't it? I mean, it's hard for me to go over to the store in the morning and have a coffee and a biscuit and get somebody come in and just slander the church and talk hard about God. It happens. And there's a lot of times I just have to clench my lip and go out and start praying, "God, I'm supposed to love them. You're going to have to help. You're going to have to help a bunch. I got a problem, Lord." Because sometimes it's so hard to do that. But when we start talking about, is it something we just say? Or is it really something we mean? And when love becomes more than a word. And Jesus is telling him in verse 28, "And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live." So God gives, or Jesus gives the answer, and he said, "You've answered right," in verse 29. "But he willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, Who is my neighbor?" Now, a good question to ask, who is my neighbor? You know, we're required by the Word of God to love our neighbor as ourself. And so if we could disqualify a bunch of them, we wouldn't have so big a problem, right? You know, if I got over there and somebody talked hard about the church or talked hard about God or talked hard about the Word of God, you know, I might could disqualify them as a neighbor. Say, "Well, he ain't really my neighbor. He lives over on 157. You know, oh, excuse me, 157. That way, I think. But when we come down to the point that Jesus is going to qualify and said, well, let's get down to this neighbor stuff. Now, when we come into this point, I want you to know when Jesus starts talking about the way different people handle situations, the one that I see is the one that's guided by love. And that love comes through the Spirit and the power of God. I don't know that I really truly learned to love anything or anybody till I got saved and God filled me with love. I didn't grow up filled with love. Now y'all just don't get too picky back there because y'all probably didn't either, Tony. amen, that I didn't grow up in love. Amen, I'll admit it. But when we start down to the point, and we start seeing when in verse 30, and Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So we start seeing the situation. Somebody's in need. Here's a man that's got a problem. It talks about the priest came down by chance, a certain priest that didn't give his name, and he passed by on the other side. He didn't want to see it. He didn't want to hear it. Now, I'm going to tell you, this priest probably used that word love, but he didn't mean it. Not according to his actions, not according to his deeds. He did not love it. He didn't show it. He might have said many times. In verse 32, and likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Now, he didn't go far enough to go over and look and see what the problem was. He said he looked on him and then passed by on the other side. He's getting down to qualification about who is your neighbor, who you're supposed to love. In verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Now, we begin seeing true love that somebody did something. Now, when we start thinking about this Samaritan, I'm going to tell you, he was filled with the love of God. What would make any man or any person, let's put it that way, take what they got, spend their time, spend their money on somebody they didn't even know? It has to be the love of God. That's what needs to motivate us in our churches today, that God's love, we're filled with the Spirit of God, which is love. This Samaritan, I guess the one you expect the least from is the one that did the most. That's a lesson later. And so, verse 35, and on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will pay thee. So he didn't only spend what he had. He said, if there's any extra debt comes up, I'll take care of it. Now, that's God's love demonstrated. That Samaritan didn't know just how to say love. He knew how to show it because he had compassion on the one that had a need. That's the point. I pray that all of us in the churches today, all up and down the country, come to that love is not just a word. Not just a word. And so we come on down to the point in verse 36, which now these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves. And so they demonstrated their kindness as a neighbor. In verse 37, and he said, he that showeth mercy on him, then Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. Now, you know, we have this straight from the Word of God. This man knew. He said, well, this is the one that was the neighbor to him. This is the one that took care of him. And then Jesus said, go and do thou likewise. Now, we've got a big illustration from the Word of God how we're supposed to love people and how we're supposed to treat people. You know, I didn't learn this early in life. I didn't go to church a lot when I was growing up. I went some. There were times that I went, but not always. And the times I did go, you know, I've sat and thought about this a lot. I tried to think back and recall some of the church services I'd go to. And, you know, we'd go into the church when it was convenient or when they could drag me there screaming and kicking because I didn't care about going. Had no attraction to me whatsoever. No attraction. I was attracted to other things of the world more than I was to church. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm not trying to justify everything I did in that point, in that case. But, you know, my mama was a school teacher. And she'd go to PTO meetings. And they'd go sometime to Ruitan meetings and sometimes other meetings, you know, held at the school. And then we go to church on Sunday, and I couldn't tell the difference one from the other. It was just a meeting. I could never remember sitting in on the little church up on the hill. I never could remember one time when I felt the true love of God, or by the people there, was showed the true love of God. Because this love is motivated by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, the power of God. And without it, it's hard to show love. And I'm not trying to justify myself. I should have been in church. I should have grew up there. I should have, if I didn't find it, I should have helped create it, which I didn't do. But you understand what I'm saying, that when I'd go to church or go to any other meeting, they all seemed the same. It's just a group of people meeting together and really nothing going on, no excitement, no feeling of the power of the Holy Ghost. It was many years after that. Many years after that, I started going to church with Joan. Didn't have a choice. Well, her mama's rule was if you date her daughter, you go to church with her. Yeah. I thought that was the meanest thing in the world, but you had to comply. If I was going to go out with Joan, if we were going to date on Saturday night, I was required to make a church service on Sunday morning. Praise God. I mean, they still ain't nothing wrong with that. Guess where I might have been without that? No telling. Probably some jail somewhere, listening to some chaplain this morning. I ain't no telling. But the point being is, when I started going to church with her, I found a different situation. And I'm not up in one church and down in another. I'm just telling you what I found and experienced with God. That after a few visits over with her, I began to see a difference. There was a spirit. There was a power there. And it was the Holy Ghost of God coming in and meeting with those people. And when you start going down to the church and start truly meeting God and feeling His love for you, it makes a difference. It makes you want to love somebody else. I believe that. Because we are loved, we want to love. And so when we come down to that point and we start thinking about it, we need that power, the Holy Spirit. We need that faith in God. And faith, and I believe faith and love run this close together. I don't think you can separate them. That if you've got love, you've got faith. If you've got faith, you've got love. And so everywhere we read in Scripture, it shows a comparison in them. And then we come down to the point, I began feeling love. I began increasing in faith. I wasn't saved at that very time, but I was on the way. God was working on me. A little bit at a time, that one day I was going to go in and truly experience the love of God and how much He cared for me and what He had done for me on the cross of Calvary, that I came to conviction and salvation through that love that was shown me right there at Mount Olive Baptist Church. It wasn't the people. It was the love of God. That's where it was. And then I thought, okay, and you acquire this by having faith, belief and trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Romans 10:17, very plain. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's why it's so important in these meetings today. They don't become just another meeting. What makes difference in this meeting from a PTO or a PTA or whatever other meeting you may have is that we're in the Word of God, and through that, faith is increased. That's how you distinguish the difference in church and other meetings, when they stand up and it's based, it's founded on God's Word. There's going to come a time in life, it's going to be hard to tell the difference. And I want us prepared, New Salem Baptist Church prepared. I mean, some have already experienced that, no doubt, that it's hard to understand. Is this church meeting or are we just here for a party? You distinguish that by God's Word being the foundation and base and being taught and preached. And so when I came down and faith started to increase, and without faith, it's kind of a useless thing. Look over in Hebrews chapter 4 just for a few minutes. This scripture just came to my mind. Hebrews chapter 4. Y'all turn over there with me. Hebrews chapter 4, and I'm going to look at verse 1. Now, we're going to talk love and faith. And we're going to talk about the importance of faith. And then we get back to the importance of the power of God demonstrated in churches today. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us, entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And so this word's got to be mixed with faith. So faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So the importance is that we stay in this Word of God, that our faith might bring us profit from the Word that was preached. Now, it's not too hard for me this day and time to go down and visit somewhere and tell you whether it's a church meeting or whether it's just a, oh, by the way, gathering. Can y'all tell the difference? I can most every time. Most every time. In St. John chapter 5, let's look at this just for a few minutes. And let's talk about the power of the Holy Spirit and its value in the church. Now, we're talking about when love becomes more than just a word. Let me tell you what. It takes a inspiration. It takes a unction of the Holy Ghost to put us in that situation that, okay, we know that God stirred it up, that it's the love of God that we're demonstrating. St. John chapter 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue, Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folks, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. So here's the mention first of the waiting of the water, the moving of the water. This pool was there day after day after day for year after year after year, and unless the water was stirred up, unless the water was moved, it had no power. Now I want you to notice this. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And I just think how precious a time this was. All these folks laying around, all of them had problems. They're watching this certain pool, and when the angel goes down, in other words, the power of God enters into this pool, it said it troubled the water. I got plumb tickled last night thinking about this troubling of the water when the power of God was demonstrated, when the angel of God came down. And I thought about how troubling it'd be to a lot of churches today for the power of God through the Holy Ghost to come in. It'd trouble a lot of them, wouldn't it? It'd cause a problem. Amen. You'd have to stop doing what you wanted to do and do what God wants you to do. And so when this troubling of the water came down, now that is a demonstration of the love of God. He said, I love these people. I'm going to trouble the water. I'm going to stir it up, and it's going to heal the first one in. And so when we start looking at how God deals with us today and troubles the water sometimes in our life by filling us with that Holy Spirit, an angel don't have to come today. We got the Holy Ghost present with us all times. I want you to understand, these things are necessity to happen in life for us to demonstrate the love that God would have us to demonstrate. When he talked about this healing pool, this healing thing, when the power of God demonstrated by an angel coming in and troubling the pool, I'm sure that stirred up the water. It was a moving of the water. There was a power evident. And I thought about in our lives today how when we're stirred up, when our water internal is stirred up and troubled by the power of God, we'll do things that we don't normally do. You know, it's an odd thing for somebody to take their money out of their pocket and give it to somebody else, isn't it? That's not natural. That's not a natural thing to do. I mean, God us made us in a way that we're pretty much possessive. You know, most everybody is possessive. But God put us in a, you know, brings us to a point that's really unnatural, that when we're ready to share and give what we've got to somebody else for help. That's unnatural because it's of God. God's unnatural. You know, we serve an unnatural God. And so when I think about these things and how love, faith, continue hand in hand, and how God blesses us with opportunities that we not only demonstrate the love he's shown for us, but we also show his love to others. There's a great necessity in that just in time. I finished that. David, y'all come, we'll have a verse for song. When love becomes more than just a word. What a time. What a time. Anybody that needs to do anything today, just welcome to come on. God save your soul. He'd hear your prayer of repentance. He'd help you with an illness or a sickness. I can't list all the things God could do because, you know, he can do whatever. He's a God of whatever need. So whatever your need is this morning, you come up, need to join a church, need to, whatever it is, God can handle it. I'm telling you, we serve a great God. I love this song, don't y'all? Just as I am. That's the only way you can come. You can't change yourself. You don't have the power. It'll take the help and the power of God if you're going to change and be something different. And I never will forget, you know, we sang that song. I came one day just as I am, met Jesus, and came away changed forever. Changed forever. Now, isn't that power and love of God demonstrated? You know how God can take somebody like me and say, I've got a plan for him. I've got a plan for it. And then give you an opportunity to help with the work that he's doing on this earth today. That's just amazing, isn't it? I just get overwhelmed when I think about it. And that's love demonstrated. My prayer today is not only I, but you, this church. Love's not just a word anymore. It's not just a word anymore. We're going to show it. You don't have to run out here telling everybody I love you. They'll know by your actions and deeds. Actions and deeds will speak louder than your words. And I got convicted at this funeral home the other night, told that young lady, said, I love you. And then I thought, do I really? Hadn't talked to her in 10 years. Must not love her too much. What do you think about it? If I really loved her, wouldn't I call to check on her and her kids every now and then? I got condemned. God condemns me some strange places, I'm telling you. Of course, I hope all of y'all better than I am. But I'm still human. But I'm on the way to perfection. I won't get there one day. I'm on the way. All right, we'll do one more verse. Anybody need to come? Any need in your life? Come on. Dismissed. Glad to have the Sanchez family with us today back here. They were traveling through, had a little bit of automotive problem. We're working on that, but we've got them anchored out over to the lake right now. And I'll just be very plain about this, and I hope everybody here is in agreement with it. As far as I'm concerned, they're not going to be in this community and be hungry. Amen. God blessed us to have an opportunity to help them out a little bit. And I'm not going to go any deeper into it than that. No use in it. You find out what you need to do or what we need to do. But they're going to be here with us a while until they get their vehicle fixed and maybe get a promise of a job somewhere. He's a pipe layer, and he got laid off. Where was you at when he got laid off? Okay. But anyway, we're going to have them with us. Y'all saw them five little girls running around here? That's them. That's them. Praise the Lord. And glad to have them with us, and they're over to the lake right now. Anybody want to stop by and see them or visit with them, whatever, that'd be a good thing. And I tell you how I see it. I think God blessed us with an opportunity. We can do something, and we might show the love that he shows to us. All right, any word, anything before we go? Anybody? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this day you've blessed us with and a time you've given us coming together, that we worship and praise you, that we lift up your name above all others. We thank you, God, for instructing us how to treat other people. We thank you, God, for showing us that we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. I know, Father, it's tough. It's hard for us, but God, just give us strength and courage to try to do it. Lord, we're going to praise you and thank you for all things. We thank you for this church service today. I pray, God, for the night service, that you come in and be with us, that you just uplift us and strengthen us and be with us in all aspects. God, we're going to give you the praise, honor, and glory in all things and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.